listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO. 5 o'clock on a Friday, and we're happy to be with you. I was off last week, but we also had prayer and share, so it worked out well. My daughter got married, and I was just sharing about the revival in the air at the wedding, you know, and how there was an atmosphere of just love, peace, joy. I've never been to an event like that, and everybody was saying the same thing. Now, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. But when people were saying, this is like, I've never experienced anything, you know, of the words, the vows that my daughter was sharing and her, my now son-in-law, sharing with each other with scripture, and it was about Jesus. And people were saying they never heard such vows before. It was just such a beautiful event, and I really want to share some of it as I go along with step 12, because when I woke up this morning, revivals in the air was in my heart, and God was ministering to me. The Holy Spirit was ministering about how revivals in me, and you know, we also know that through church, you know, we learn, you know, in Pastor Tom's teaching, he teaches that, you know, we're always looking for revival, and revival is in us. We bring revival. We should be bringing revival wherever we go. What is that? Love, peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. God lives in us. The Holy Spirit, His breath of life, lives inside of us. When we breathe out, when we speak our words, we're giving oxygen, life to other people, places, and things. And that's what we should be doing in step 12. Step 12, because I wanted to do a little review. It's been a little hard to get back into reality because I feel like I've been in heavenly realm, you know. And I'm not saying everything was perfect, but it was perfect. There was peace with it all. You know, the little glitches. Nothing was bigger than Him. Nothing was bigger than... The problem wasn't bigger than the solution at all, ever. And that was very peaceful for me. You know, that was a shift for me, too. Not to, you know, react or respond in a ungodly way. You know, just bring... Keep the peace. Keep the peace. So this morning I woke up and revivals in the air was in my mind, and it's enlighten the world with God's glory. I was praying and praying before this. Well, let me just say hi, James. I'm so sorry. I'm Luann.
I'm James.
I'm just so excited. I didn't even. Hi, James. It's nice to be back. It's the first time I'm seeing
nice
James
to meet you.
Too. Yeah. So it's like I'm really trying to get back into life here. So it's to enlighten the world with God's glory. So I was praying during the whole process, actually, because, you know, there was some things that happened and then this preparation, and it was a lot of planning. And I would pray, God, I want it all to glorify you. I want to glorify you in all that I do and everything that I, and the experience that everybody has, Father. I just want you to be glorified, because I didn't want it to be just, you know, a wedding. I wanted it to be an experience. And that was in my heart. I wanted people to experience love, peace, joy, God, you know? And not everybody that I know of is Christian or, you know, has Jesus, but everyone felt the atmosphere of peace, love, and joy, and that's him. Everybody felt him. And when people were saying, I've never been to an event like this, this is awesome, I've never heard, you know, people talking about Jesus so much, and it wasn't planned out that way. It was just what everybody's heart was doing, you know? I would just turn around and say, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's God's love being poured out. It's colliding. It's people colliding, because I do want to share a little backdrop with everyone. There was a lot of brokenness in this family, these families that collided with love in this event. There was separation due to, you know, hey, listen, I was part of it. Sin, sickness, and dis-ease in our lives, you know, and everyone, you know, participated in things that were ungodly, unloving, bitterness, envy, jealous. All of that was, you know, how things were operating in our family. But this one day, it all lifted, and peace came over everybody, and love, and there was amends being made. I would walk by, and people were talking that haven't spoken in 10 years. And then I get a phone call the next day, that person apologized to me. And I'm like, why are you apologizing? But
praise God,
it's awesome, you know? And the beautiful thing is, and I'm God gets all the glory, but they're connected. The people that were calling and that were, you know, I noticed these things, there were conversations that had occurred prior to the event with individuals, and it was like God spoke to their heart. You know, he used me to be able to explain what God expects of us. You know, like, I've had conversations with some of these people, but I didn't tell them they had to do this, or, you know, this is you should do this now. It was, they must have been meditating on it and, you know, like, having their own conversations. And then I see the fruit of what God does in others. And it was blessing me. You know, I was being blessed too. So it was just a wonderful event. And I prayed that God would be glorified, and he sure was. And when I was doing step 12, which is having had a spiritual awakening, it's being born again, right? As a result of these steps, and which are the steps that lead us to a relationship with Christ. That's what the 12 steps are. If you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're doing the 12 steps wrong. You're amiss. Bottom line, it's to bring you back into him. It's to get yourself out of yourself, myself, I self, me self, into himself. You know, and if you're finding yourself still feeling worried, not justified, you know, entitled or a victim, then you're not in that relationship. That the whole goal, the whole purpose of God creating these steps, in divinely inspiring Bill W., was to bring his people to him. And these steps are designed that way. And when you know him, you can see it clearly how these steps are not about, you know, it's like self-help. That's like the worst thing you could say, self-help. It's selfish. No, it's helping. It's God help so that I can let God flow through me. It's not so I feel better. It's so that I can be better for another person. You know, so having had that spiritual awakening, that born again, as a result of these steps, which lead you to Jesus Christ, the higher power that they talk about is Jesus. Holy Spirit comes to live, indwell you, right? And to carry, we tried. What is tried? It means to tested, proven, genuine, to carry this message, the good news, to others, to alcoholics, sinners, sickness, disease, people who are suffering, spiritual malady. Okay, it comes in many forms, many, many forms. It could be even codependency, spiritual malady, because if you need someone else's approval, then you're not trusting in the Lord and who you are in him, and you don't believe what he's saying. So it's about getting to know God and getting to know what he says about you and being confident in who you are and in Christ. Okay? And to practice means to live these principles. It's the character of God. It's love, to practice a principle of love, the principle of peace, the principle of righteousness, the principle of joy. You know, when we sow those things in our lives and others' lives, that's what grows. We are considered trees in Scripture. And God refers to trees and how when we plant a seed, what grows. Well, what are you planting today? Are you planting bitterness? Because then you're going to find yourself around a lot of bitterness eventually. Maybe not right away, but the more we sow it, the more we grow it, right? So we practice these principles, and that's the nature of God, his attributes, his character in all our affairs. What's our affairs? Our events, situations in life. Everything we're doing. You want to see something?
No, just you're excited.
I am excited. I love it. You know, because it's so real.
I was thinking a lot of the stuff you say, though. It's like we say entitled. People around someone entitled are like, oh, yeah, they're entitled. But the entitled person doesn't even have a clue what that means. When you know what I mean?
Amen. So, it's a self-centered right.
Several things you said that, like codependency, 99% of people really don't know what that means.
So
you know, people around addictions that have been through ministry do, but you know, having to, for you to have to for someone else, your life to have to, can't be good unless someone else's life's good, and if they're not doing good, it's your responsibility.
You and know, the vice versa, if someone's life is bad, then you feel like it's your fault too, yeah, you know. So,
unfortunately, it makes people not allow children or husbands. But I mean, it starts way back to suffer consequences for the wrongs they do, and not that you don't ever help them, but especially when they're first getting in trouble. But they start developing the child develops a no consequence. They just don't even think about, you know, what they're doing in the future as they get older. Like, it just becomes a way of life. And then when they do also get hit with a 10-year prison sentence or something, they're like totally freaked out.
Right. And also, like, even sometimes, you know, people pray and it's codependent or selfish, you know, because if they change, then everything will be good, you know. And that's missing your prayer, you know. We're not praying properly, and that's not.
And then me and Dan Muller's wife.
Yeah. Exactly. So our affairs is our relationships, you know. And the 12 steps teach us in the first seven are really important, because it's me and God. It's getting God, getting revelation of who God is, Jesus Christ. First three. Then it's about the relationship, developing a relationship with God, allowing Him. That means I have to submit, allowing Him to teach me, lead me, and guide me, the Holy Spirit, in inside me. It's getting the revival in me lit, the fire lit. And then 8 through 12 is about me, God, and others. And if I'm not right with God, I cannot, no matter how much I try, no matter how good I am, can be right with others. And it's called righteousness. I could be good, but to live righteously, we can do good things, but not for the right reasons, not righteously, right? So I do want to read 1 Peter 1:7. Hold on. There's a couple of scriptures that God gave me this morning that I want to touch on. And then we'll talk even more. Okay, so it's 1 Peter 1:7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold and that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, and glory at the revelation. And that's what tried and true means, your faith being tested. So we tried, being tried, right, proven genuine to carry this message. So now we're able to go out and carry a message, because we've already went through our own burning and molding with God. You know, sin is combustible. I say it all the time. And when people get offended, it's really sin. We're not judged by others. We're judged by His word. You know, and it's, and sometimes that's the problem. We put a face on his word and it's not his face, and we should be putting his face because it's Christ, Jesus. He is the word. And he said he was going to come and judge through the word of God, all his people. So instead of being offended, we can say, okay, I'm going to take that information and I'm going to look at myself. Holy Spirit, teach me, lead me, guide me, show me where I need to change some things, whether it's in my thinking, in my speaking, or in my acting, my actions. Okay? And then again, in Ephesians, and this is the big scripture that he gave me. This is the whole thing this morning, what it was really all based on as far as revival inside of us. The revival needs to come out, and I feel like that's what happened at this event. Revival was in the air, you know? And you know, God blesses those. He rains on dead things too. He's not going to, you know, have little patches. Well, those things don't grow properly. No, he rains on everything, right? So even people that don't know him, he rains on. And if they're in line with him, they get blessed. So people were blessed and they felt it. Hallelujah.
And I know what you mean by that, but I think others listening may not, when you said, if you're in line with him.
Go ahead.
And I can't even say what you mean.
Go ahead, say it. Because it
what she means is like there's
it's important.
Laws in God's words, you know. It's like honor your parents and you'll have a long life.
Mm-hmm.
There's give and it shall be given unto you. There's just a lot of things in scripture that even non-believers will get the blessing from or the curse from, even not knowing the Lord.
That's right.
Because it's God's law, like the law of gravity is in existence. It don't matter if you know the Lord or not.
That's right.
It works.
Amen.
And jump off, walk off four-story building, you're going to splat. You can't get mad at God. That's he's not going to change his word, so you don't splat.
That's right.
It's the same with his word. Everything he promised and everything he said we would have through disobedience. So.
Amen. And, you know, if you're finding that you feel like you're praying and they're going nowhere, maybe just reevaluate, you know. Is there something you're saying that goes against your what you're praying? You know, are you talking in the opposite direction? Are you thinking in the opposite direction? Are you acting in the opposite direction? Because, you know, repent doesn't only mean to turn your thinking. It's turn your actions, turn your mouth. It's turn your life around towards him, right? So in Ephesians 2:1, and I'll read 1 through 10. It says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the prince, the spirit who now works in the son of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, in his rich who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So, and by grace we've been saved. Nothing that we've done, right? But if I'm allowing him to live through me, then he's going to desire right living. It's Christ-minded. That's what we want to do. And the only way I'm going to know what Christ is thinking and what he would speak is by knowing him intimately and his word and spending time with him. Okay? And, it, you know, yes, in the Bible, yes, listening to sermons, scripture, yes, reading other, you know, scriptural, historical things, all that's good. But just moments alone, walking and talking and meditating with him. Those are intimate moments. He loves those moments with you. So it's a direction in step 12, this this scripture, right? So you were dead, but now you are made alive. So revive others. We have the ability to do CPR. He gave me a whole thing on CPR. I love it. Christ people revived. Right? So, and it said, so it's reviving others, you know, lay hands on the sick, make disciples. That's in Mark 16, 17, 18, and Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He gave us directions. These are directions for step 12. You know, if I'm having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, that means I need to be born again, and I need to know that he who lives in me is greater than he who is in the world. So wherever I go, it's him using my vessel, the vessel. He's a being. He's a human being inside of me that wants to express himself, the Holy Spirit. Okay? He wants to be, if you want to know what the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit looks like, look in the mirror. He's using you to identify himself, right? But so people will go tilt when they know the Luann that used to do it this way, now she's doing it that way. That's a good opening to allow the Holy Spirit to minister, because when people see that you're not the same, they're like, what? What's going on? And there it is. There's your opening for good news, spreading the good news, laying hands, casting out demons. You know, those are openings for us. That's Jesus opening the door for someone to walk through, right? But they want to, you know, when you open a door, you want to see what's inside. You want to make sure it's, you know, the attraction is, wow, I want to be over on the other side of that. Hallelujah, right? So we are God's rescue team. I feel like that's what this was. It was like a rescue event, you know? And many people are looking for a revival. They're looking for breath of life outside of themselves, outside. It's revival. It's CPR. It's life. We're looking for life, okay? And revival comes from inside. So go do CPR to others, all right? People are looking for fresh air. And, you know, when you're living a life that's pure and fresh, people smell it. They get to inhale that, you know, and it says aroma, the sweet aroma of heaven, you know, and they see it, and that not only do they see it with their eyes or hear it with their ears, but they can taste it and smell it. Oh, taste and see what the Lord has done. You know, we're talking about spiritual senses. So we got to get out of the natural, because everybody's looking for that natural fix. And it's really a spiritual satisfying that we get. Hallelujah. So could be drowning. People are drowning. People are suffocating, right? Falling off cliffs. And they need breath. They need life in them. Hope, right? And they're all doing this by the world expectations because of what they think they need in order to be healthy, in order to be accepted, in order to be loved, in order to be peace, in order to have freedom. And it's all lies. It's all lies. It can only be found in one, Jesus Christ and the Word of God, right? So what is CPR? And it's cardiopulmonary resuscitation, okay? So that's when your heart stops beating. Why? Because love stops beating in your life. Forgiveness stops beating in your life. Patience stops beating in your life. Right? Well, tolerance.
Fear starts.
Yeah.
A lot of heart problems right. from fear.
Right. And then it circulates the blood, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ in others. So when we give CPR, we're circulating. CPR is a critical life-saving technique. It restores blood flow and oxygen. I think of blood flow is the blood of Christ, right? And the oxygen is the Holy Spirit breath of God to the brain, the body, and that's Father God. We're in the image and likeness of him, right? So we have to give CPR. CPR is Christ people revived. We need to do it, okay? So, and it's vital organs when the heart stops. It hits all the vital organs, all right? And the heart is our spirit. It's the spirit man.
So should we, like, jump on people, throw them down and start
pumping
in the
up.
Name of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Whatever God tells you to do. So, and 1 Corinthians 15:45, it does talk about life-giving spirit, right? When you receive Jesus as Lord, you receive the Son of God living and breathing inside of you. There's the revival. Once I was dead, once I was lost, and now I live because he died for me, for you, for who's ever listening. He did it for you. If you were the only person on earth, he would still do it for you because he loves you that much. He created you, and revival lives inside of you, right? So the living, breathing inside of you, he's living and breathing inside of you. He's a being in you. So revival brings revelation, and we have to remember that. So once you understand, you get excited. We want to think of revival like this big thing happening, right?
And that's happening too.
And it is happening because people are starting to get again.
It has started. I mean, revival.
It has.
They've been end time revival, the last revival that so many people prophesied, you know, Kenneth Hagin and Paul King, Hey Allen. I mean, a lot of people have seen it. A lot of prophets. I've had many dreams about it, but I believe it started. Just look at the other countries. It's just fizzling into the United States, but it's really taken off in these
going.
Other countries.
Mm-hmm.
There's millions and millions of people.
Amen.
Like never. It's never been like this.
Amen. And there's more awareness. I mean, look, you know, Charlie Kirk, people didn't even know what he was doing. And now it's been revealed. Right?
Amen.
Revelation. Revival. Hallelujah. So more people know now who he was, what he was doing. And that's what's happening around the world. There's many Charlie Kirk situations going on that we don't know about, but God does. And that's who our audience is. It's him. And that's what he wants you to do. Listening, who's ever listening, he wants you to have the revival come out of you, pour out of you, and on your words, in your thoughts, in your actions, and have others witness. See how good God is in your life.
What I don't understand on the natural is, you see in Italy and England and Germany, they show these pictures from the air, and the people are twice as wide as the street, full as far as you can see. I'm like, how does anybody go to work? I mean, no, they can't go down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, is the whole town shut down? I don't know. It's just kind of strange when I see it. I'm like, okay, how is this working?
Oh, God.
Glad to see it, but I'm just saying,
yeah.
I think about
praise
that.
Praise the Lord.
Like, you couldn't go anywhere.
So in 1 Corinthians 15:45, I want to read it, and it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So he came to give us, to wake up our spirit man, to be born again. We need to be born again, a new creation, because when we were born into this world, we were all born into sin. So it wasn't, you know, when you're born, you're not, it wasn't like God made me an alcoholic. We were born into sin. It's generational stuff too. God didn't give me cancer. We were born into sin. You know, so these things have abilities to be able to, you know, especially if we're not in line with God's word, to infiltrate territory. And it's up to us to watch our gates, right? And so we need to know these things, bitterness, all these things that affect our body, right? God gave us living spirit to wake up our spirit to become a new creation. So that old things are past. We are no longer, I don't introduce myself as a drug addict, or that's not who I am. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. Now, am I a member of Alcoholics Anonymous or my church? Yes, but I'm not those things. I'm there to bring the good news. That's what we're all there to do once we get it. We're there to greet the one that's sick and suffering, the one that still has spirituality. That's what sponsorship is. That's what discipleship is. That's when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And even in that, in 12-step programs, it works. Even in therapy, they have group therapy where they want people to have fellowship, you know, and start and be on the same page of not wanting to live one way, but live a new way. So it works. It really does. But no matter how much we try without the Holy Spirit, it's dead works. So we need the Holy Spirit in order to have the life that God created us to have, that God created us to live, you know, with his with the his plan and purpose. With the we all have the potential in us. We have to let him guide us. Okay? So that was in 1 Corinthians, and that's about the new man identity, the spiritual life, right? So the revival brings revelation, awakening inside of you. That's good news. I mean, it's your testimony. You know, it's the power of the testimony. Jesus even had a witness on the when he went to hell. When he was going through Abraham's bosom, he had the witness with him to say, yeah, this is Jesus, because they weren't on the earth when he was on the earth. And they're like, this is him. This is the guy that we were all talking about, you know, and they went up to heaven. That's how I look at it. We all need to witness. In a courtroom, you need to witness. When, you know, something happened in my house when the kids were little, I'm like, yeah, was anybody there? Sure. Do you have witness? You know what I'm saying? Or you get somebody say, I saw so-and-so do this. There's a witness. You know? So the spiritual man life is how God wants us to live this life. Spiritual is more normal than the natural for us. It should be. We should be led by the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit. Spirit man first. So 12-step is a way to attend to the fire and power inside of us, to flow outside of us. Revival is in the air. It's in you. Stop breathing. If you have to put a mint in your mouth, put a mint in your mouth. Yeah. But breathe on people. Breathe the breath of life. Let them know Jesus Christ. Let them know the word. That's the word is life. Just speak it.
Yeah, your pastor, Larry, when I was first ministering, he was there, and after I got done, because I'd pray for everybody afterwards.
Amen.
And he came up and said, James, those people didn't fall down because anointed. It was your breath. You need a you need a mint.
Oh. Like, so in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. And we need to remember that. So if you're feeling weary, down and out, victimized, then you're not living the way God called you to live. You're not living the life that God has inside of you to be expressed outside of you. He is the life.
And then you're talking about the fruits. I was trying to remember what it was. I was waiting to say.
Go ahead.
Just, and I figured exactly how you said it, but like you're living, reaping like what you sowed, like. And I just want to say, well, you worded it really good. I can't remember how you
Praise
said it.
Praise God.
But I said, we're reaping also what the generations before us sowed, because mm-hmm. that gives the enemy legal rights. So there's people maybe listening that are like, well, why do I have this or have that? Or, you know, deterioration of the spine or whatever, that I'm living forgiveness and so on. But we get generational stuff we have to break off. So
break off. So there is a solution. That one is God. May you find him now. So what you need to do is go into it, and you can stand in the gap. Repent for your family, past members. You know, you can do these things. And you can, and your lifestyle can change. I had to repent to my kids. I mean, we were talking about it. My daughter was driving with her boyfriend driving me to the airport, and she was telling him about the witchcraft that we were doing. And I was like, I can't even, I mean, I still say I can't, I'm so sorry I did that to you guys. You know, potions, and it was crazy. But that was, and I love God. I mean, it's just weird.
But she didn't know God.
I didn't know God, but clear. I would be like, yeah, I love, God. Love God. You know,
she
but
didn't
I,
know who got Jesus. Or,
in my mind, I was a good witch. Born again. You know, it's like craziness. I was totally brainwashed by the world, you know. Well, I was of the world, and now I'm not. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, so so all I do, I repent, and I no longer, I go against that. I go against that. I stand against that stuff. It doesn't fit in my life. And when it gets brought up, it's just, yeah, thank God. Thank you, Father, for saving me. I said it out loud. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I could have missed this whole thing. I could have kept my kids in darkness. You know, I mean, it's not me that got them out of darkness, but I at least can present light. If it's up to them to choose to follow the light. It's not my job to do that, but it's my job to reveal him everywhere I can, to show him wherever I can, and not hide myself under a, what does they say, the bushel, you know, put yourself under the table, keep yourself the lamp, right?
He says bushel.
Yeah. So one of the groups, I just want to talk a little bit about 12-step program also. The 12-step is about the love. If I don't believe I'm loved, I won't be able to give love. If I don't believe I'm healed, it's hard for me to believe that God can heal somebody else. If I don't believe that I'm accepted, I'm not going to really accept others and not feel accepted by others. So doing 12-step work would be very, very difficult. It would be more on a selfish realm just to do it so that I can feel like I'm doing the right thing for the program. But knowing love, knowing I'm accepted in him, in Christ, changes everything. Because when I go into a situation, and this is for everybody, I'm not unique. This is just a fact. When you know who you are and you know who he is and you know who you belong to and you know who created you and you know where your supply comes from, then wherever you go, you don't need people, places, and things to give it to you. God will make that happen if there's a resource that I need and I'm there for his, for the potential that's in me for his plan and purpose. If I'm there to serve him, right, then he's going to reveal everything, the supply I need. And, you know, there was, at the wedding, my ex-husband got up. I didn't expect it, but he got up and he said a speech, and it was a very loving speech, and it was about a little bit about me, you know. And this was at one time, I mean, people were like, what? I mean, we had a horrible divorce. And then I'm walking down the aisle with the stepmom, you know, my son's in the center. I mean, there was just so much love that people got to witness that they've never experienced. And I was purposeful about planning it with God. I said, God, show me everywhere I can reveal your love. And he made me call her one day, a few months ago, and invite her to walk down the aisle with me as the stepmom with my son in the middle of us. Listen, my first idea was, oh my God, do I really have to do this? My family's going to, you know, but it's not about me. I want to do the right thing. And it was about people witnessing an explosion of love. So thank you, Jesus. And there was other things. So he was sharing this, you know, that he loved, you know, and the things that I was doing. And so God gives people what he wants to get to you. You know, it was a little bit, God wanted to show me, yes, I heard your prayers. Yes, this is really happening. Because I'm like, wow, I never expected it. And even my family was like, what? But it was beautiful because they got to see love. So the 12 steps and the 12th step is about knowing love so intimately that you're not afraid somebody's going to take it from you, and you're not afraid that you're going to give it all away because it's unlimited and it's not from a person, place, or thing. So you want to just keep pouring and keep pouring. And that's a key to the kingdom. Constantly pouring, constantly receiving, constantly giving, constantly receiving. If you stop it, you know, what does he say? Loosen, it be loosed. Bind, and it will be bound. You know, we have the power. He gave it to us. Authority, dominion here on earth, to be fruitful, multiply, to sow, to loosen and bind things, and he will do the same as it is here on earth in heaven to us. We are the ones that make the decision. So if I'm not in line with him, or if I'm full of anger or something and I'm closing down, then I'm not allowing the flow, the right flow. I'm in the negative flow, okay? Because it's going to come from somewhere. So before AA, the Oxford group, that's where Bill W. was, and that was in that was before AA, 1921. There were groups being held, and it was all Christian-based, right? And the whole purpose of the 12 steps, and there were principles. They practiced these principles. That's where that comes from, the Oxford group in All Our Affairs. It's to get rid of selfishness and self-centeredness. It's to get rid of self, me, my, I, into, get into himself. So it's no longer about me. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? So it's a life-changing relationship with Jesus. If you haven't had that awakening, life-changing relationship with Jesus, then you may need to go back and reflect and look in the mirror and review some of those steps or directions to help look at yourself and get rid of that stuff, okay? Because you should be look like the image, transparent. You shouldn't be seeing greed or envy or any of that in the mirror. So sin is a disease, all right? And then it also talks about surgical spiritual operation. I believe the 12 steps of that, and that's in Matthew 19:26. And I believe that the steps is a spiritual, surgical operation with God. He teaches us when we do a fourth step and a fifth step, right? And thy will be done, turning your life over to the care of God, God's will. I'm not the director anymore. He's the creator. He knows the plans. He created the plan. So I would rather go to him to find out what's next or what tool to use than try to figure it out on my own. Because I never could get it right, and I'd always make life more difficult, right? And then I have to surrender myself to God, and that's the third step, you know? It's turn my will and my life over to the care of God. But if I'm not sure and I don't have the faith to trust and believe, I'm going to have a hard time with that. That's why faith comes by hearing, hearing his word, the word of God. That's what grows our faith, okay? And faith comes by hearing. So whatever we're listening to the most, we're going to believe in the most. Whatever we're turning to the most, whatever directions we think are the right, if we think money's the answer and we're constantly going for the money thing and doing the money thing and, you know, all that, then that's where my faith is. And it's not in him because he's the director of money. I want to go to him and he'll let me know. He's the creator.
Or fear that something bad's going to happen.
Right, right. So God's guidance heals us and restores us. And that's the whole key of the higher power. That's the whole idea of knowing God. It's only God that can heal us. No human power can relieve us of our alcoholism, our sin, our sickness, our disease, our worry, our fear. No one. Not a person, place, or thing in the world. I've tried. I've tried it. And I'm sure many people listening can identify. And we've tried it. Right? But only God. Only God can heal us and restore us. He's our Lord and Savior. So we had to quit playing God. And, you know, in page 62 of the big book, it talks, it's a great page. People should read it. It talks about selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of all our evil troubles. And it is. God tells us that. Pride. You know?
Love of money.
And love of money, right. So 1 Corinthians.
Pride of life. It is the love of money.
Mm-hmm.
And things.
Right. Right. So 1 Corinthians is the love chapter. And it's step 12 is love. It's coming to a place where you can now give love wherever you go. Love is healing, laying hands on the sick. Love is casting out demons. Love is discipleship. If you don't have love in you, it's going to make it very, very difficult. Okay? It's a love life.
I just got to say, some people... Because they first see people getting healed, or especially casting out demons and seeing the authority they have, if they step into that, then they can be excited about doing it without having a love for the person, because that's a problem. Because when I first started doing deliverance, I had people would come to me and say, oh man, I cast demons out one time, I was with someone, and if you go to do that, I want to do it. And I say that's like if I walked out of this building right here and there's a 75-year-old woman there getting beat up by some people trying to take her purse. And I look at you and I say, Luann, do you like fighting? Let's go fight them guys. I love this. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be the love for people.
Amen.
And that's how you really get people free, because then you'll be praying.
Praise
the Lord. Why isn't this coming out? Or
that's right.
What do they need to repent? You know what I mean?
Amen.
You'll have a heart to see them free, not
and God,
to cast a demon out.
Amen. That's right. Because then it becomes a whole other not righteously.
Right.
Because it does say in the Bible that he was filled with compassion.
Yes.
He moved with compassion.
Amen.
And that's the way we need to move, because he's moving us.
Right.
He should be moving us, you know? So even your worst enemy, you would want to lay your hands on and give them relief, God's healing.
Lay hands on them in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and you know, the 1 Corinthians 13 is a transformation that we need to. It gives us keys to learn how to act, to learn how to live, be different. You know, I can't just say differently. I got to be differently. I can't say I'm sorry. I got to be I'm sorry. I got to live I'm sorry. Right? And then Bill W.'s, one of his favorite quotes is in James 2:20, and it's faith without works is dead. You know, and if I don't take action, and I can't think that action's going to build my faith. It doesn't work like that. Faith, I believe so much that I'm motivated. Faith motivates me to want to act. It should. Not, I have to work so hard to get the faith I need. No, you get the faith and then you want to operate. Faith to operate.
And everyone has a measure of faith.
Yeah. And we talked about all this. This is why it's so important.
Just the enemy will convince you that, oh, you got to... if you got enough faith to ask someone if you can pray, you got enough faith to see them healed.
Amen.
Yeah, don't take much.
Amen.
I mean, I was just in a denominational church that's never seen a healing. And I had prayed a woman that goes there, leg grew out. And so she showed everybody because she had special shoes. And they wanted me to come to a healing service and wanted me to talk to their group about 12 people first. And I just made them pray for each other. I was trying to explain to them, and I could see they didn't believe a thing I'd say.
No, it's good.
So I made them pray for each other, and they were shocked because all but one person was healed, like 10 or 11 people healed.
Amen.
People fixing it operations, instantly healed.
Amen.
Legs grew out, and I didn't pray. I showed them how to pray. Mm. I was like, don't beg God, don't ask God. He gave us this authority, and keep it simple. If you praying a long prayer, you probably won't see anything.
You convince yourself out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're praying out of doubt is what it
That's
is.
Right.
You're trying to convince God to do it.
Exactly.
I'm like, no, God already did it 2,000 years
ago. Or impress someone, even. You know, it's not about that.
What,
God was very, like, maybe even impress someone.
Oh.
Like, you know, like, I know all the, it's very simple. God was very simple. Jesus didn't say long, drawn out.
Well, he didn't even pray.
No.
Be healed.
He just spoke to it.
Right. That's yeah. And that's what works.
Yes.
Because then we had a healing
service.
Because we
have the authority in his name.
We had a healing service. 76 people came. And I just wanted to help the three up there. But then the people kept asking me to pray because they knew the stories.
Yeah.
And then I told them before the meeting, I said, I'm not going to pray for anyone. I'm going to help them. That way, everybody, I'm getting as many heals as I can. Because if I'm not helping them, I don't know what's going to be happening. And sure enough, someone asks a prayer, and then I'm getting stuck. I get a break. I run over, and this guy's over there. This lady had the band broke that holds her tendons in her thumb, and her thumb wouldn't lift up. And I run over, I stop, and he's like, God, please heal her. Please heal this thumb. And, you know, and I'm just like waiting, like, oh, this probably ain't going to work. Move your thumb. No. I said, look. I just said to him real quick because they're calling me back over. I said, I told you, keep it simple. Just speak to it. I put my hand on it. I said, give me a hand. I said, tennis go back under that band, be healed in Jesus' name. Pull movement this thumb in the name of Jesus. Move your thumb. She's like, oh my gosh.
Amen.
I run back over, but then he must have done, I think he prayed different after I left because she asked him to pray for his ears. And then she took her hearing aids out because people were getting loud in there. She ain't even thinking she might be healed. Then she's riding home thinking, why has my car got so much road noise? And she turns the TV on. And she runs it at 76, and she got all the way down to 23, took a hearing aid.
Praise God.
And then realized she was healed.
That's awesome. That's such good news.
Yeah. And he had never pray for anybody.
Yeah. And you know, it's like the same thing. Jesus didn't baptize. He sent his disciples to do that, you know? Mm. It's the same thing, you know? Like, so sometimes we have to let others, and it's the purity and the excitement, the revival, the revelation that touches people, you know? The revelation and the revival inside another person, when they get excited like that, it's the fire of God, the power and fire of God coming out and touching another person. And it's so important, because even when my nieces or someone calls me, I'm like, no, put your hand on your belly. Over the phone, I'm doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. You could do this. Speak to it, you know?
Over the phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, in helping people, the greatest thing I see to get people going for the Lord is to, if you can discern their gifts, which might not be the same as your gifts, not try to get them to do what you're excited to do. Look and see where their discernment is.
Right.
I mean, their gifting is. And then to get them operating in their gifts.
Right.
And when they start moving and seeing God move through them, it just changes their life.
Amen. Amen. So we want to live sober-minded. We want to know Christ and live Christ out. We want to live him out and let people see. And when we say action, we're talking about practice, practicing. We take action, we're practicing, right? We're using the 12 steps in our life. The 12 steps are the characteristics, the principles of God that we get to get revelation as we walk through this journey with the Lord, as we grow our relationship with him, right? He starts to reveal more and more. The less of us, more of him. The less I see of myself and my needs, the more I see him. And that's what we want to do, 1 through 7. We want a clean house. So it's me and God, 1 through 7. It's cultivating the love of Christ in me and me and him and the union, the marriage that I have with him. And then 8 through 12 is me, God, and others, the love that God has in me poured out onto others. Okay? And it's a healthy love. It's an unconditional love. It's God's love being poured out. So when we say, how does it work, right? It's being open. It's being honest, open-minded, and willing to serve, right? But it's really in the who. It's being willing to know, to spend time with Jesus, being honest with Jesus, you know, confession, doing that, and being open-minded to what the Holy Spirit, when he convicts us of something, or rebuke something, we have to be open-minded and saying, okay, this is about me. You know, if there's a problem in my life, why is there a problem in life if I'm not the problem? It wouldn't be a problem. Even if it looks not the way I would like it to look, it wouldn't be my problem. But if I have a problem, it's because it's me in it. Okay, so I have to remember that I'm 100% of any problems that I feel or in my life. I have to take care of that part, and then I no longer can be, I won't get infected by it. It might not go away. That other person might still be that other person and not change, but I don't need that to happen, because we have God eyes, God thoughts, God words to share, God actions. I have to turn to Christ and say, okay, teach me, lead me, guide me in this. How can I be love in this situation? I always ask God when I'm confused or not sure or feeling, you know, not pure. How's that? I say, God, show me how I can love, because love covers a multitude of sin.
And I want to just compliment you on that. I've kind of mentored Luann for years, she would always come to me when people did ferociously bad things, and she would say, I'm not worried about them, and she'd tell me all this, but I need to have my heart right in this, and I need to see, am I reacting right here? Because, you know, she always checks herself.
Praise the Lord. And if you, awesome. And that's, be willing to do that, and God will give you the peace you need, give you the revelation you need, give you the patience you need, whatever it is. But seeking him first is key. You know, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, what is your will, God? What is your plan? What is your purpose for me in this thing? And he will supply all your needs, right? He will let you, but you have to come to him with an open heart, all right? And that's the who. We need to know who before we can know how. We want to say, how? How is this happening? How is this? Why? It's the who. We need to know him. If we know who is our Savior, who is our Lord, who is our director, who is our Father, then we'll know how and why, okay? Because he always has a plan. So when we talk about spirituality, we were talking about it the last time. It's about waking up our spirit man. It's not even waking up our spirit man. It's being born again. It's a new creation. It's a new being inside of us that we got to get to know and grow with the Lord. Okay? He wants to introduce ourselves to his image and likeness in us. So we want to spend time with him inside first so that we can have that revival, that breath of life come out of us and infect other people. You know, the whole idea is to bring, thank you, yeah. Praise the Lord.
When Adam, he said, when you sin, on the day you eat of the tree, you should surely die. But he didn't die for hundreds of years.
Right.
But he died spiritually.
Yes.
And everyone was born dead. Spiritually mm-hmm. until Christ came. And now we can be born again.
Hallelujah.
In the spirit. And the mystery revealed.
Amen, amen.
Is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The hope of
him
glory.
Doing the same thing he did on earth through you. Because he lives in you.
That's right. And you know, before Jesus came, they were hoping for that. They only had the hope. You know, now we have faith. We have it all. We have everything he came here for. He poured out to us. Okay, but they were always waiting. And they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. We do. We have him in us. We don't have to wait to be around Jesus. He's already in us.
And I know we're out of time, but I know that Jesus didn't match the picture of what they imagined Jesus showing up like. They want someone to free him from Roman occupation and stuff.
Right.
And I hear so many people teach on end times, and I'm like, they may miss Jesus because we've got this thing built up of how we think he's coming.
Right. And he's already here, and he's with us, and then he's going to, when he sees himself. So, James, you want to pray for us?
Yeah, Father, we praise
thank you. Lord
thank
Jesus.
You for this time. Thank you for Luann sharing. I'm glad you had a good time.
I did.
Father, I ask that you bless everyone that's listening, Father, and guide them with your spirit. And I ask, Father, anyone that does not have your Holy Spirit, that you would baptize them with your Holy Spirit and power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Shalom, shalom. Just remember, you're listening to WCNO 5 o'clock, Kingdom Recovery. My name is Luann. My number is 631-745-7980. Shalom, shalom. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.